This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At your service, it's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, good afternoon, St. Louis, and welcome to the Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I am so thrilled to be here this afternoon. And what a better way to wake up and get moving than that hard guitar tune. That'll get us all moving real fast. So it's a beautiful day, ready to dive into all your home improvement questions. Whether you're tackling a DIY project, maybe you're planning a major renovation and getting ready, or maybe you just need some tips to keep your home in tip-top shape. Well, I'm your guy. I'm here for you. We've got a full hour for you right here, 97.1. We want to welcome you guys. Love doing this here every week. I'd love to hear from you. Let's get those projects moving for you and see what you got. Again, like the man said, you can find me at 314-436-7900. For the next hour, I'd love to hear from you. And remember, your dream home is just one phone call away. We can help you fix that leaky faucet. We can design the kitchen of your dreams. No project's too big or small for us. Again, give me a shout, 314-436-7900. Let's make your home the best it can be right here on the Home Improvement Show. Can't wait to hear from you. And, you know, Cardinals were rained out last night, and so now we have a doubleheader today. So for the Cards fans, they're probably not hearing my voice right now, but for all the home improvement fans, we jump over here to 97.1. We've got a solid hour for the 97.1 FM family. Can't wait to get this going. And speaking of calls and questions and all the different things that come in every week for us. And sometimes I like to get into kind of what am I seeing during the week. I'm pretty much doing the same thing during the entire week as I'm doing here, as I go around and meet people and talk to people. And maybe they have issues they need fixed. Maybe they have renovations they want to do. Maybe they want to build a room addition, and kind of just talk with them, answer their questions, give good advice, get them to really understand what happens for us, for here at Mosby Building Arts, what happens in the industry typically, how things can and can't be done, and really just getting someone to a good quality decision and an educated decision on their part in helping them understand, helping you guys understand what the possibilities are either way is really the best way to get someone to make a great decision for themselves. So last week and the week before, we had a lot of different really, really good phone questions, phone conversations. And we had Cindy called in about some damage in a leaking basement and what to do about that. And there's a lot. I've got a really good story I can go over from this past week, helping people out and looking at stuff as a consultant for Mosby Building Arts, too, about a leaky basement and when to kind of understand the difference between is it leaking in the basement because of the home or the foundation. And we also had one of my favorite and really interesting one, and we bump into this every now and then, was Marlene that called in a couple weeks ago, and she had an outrageously high water bill. So kind of looking back and talking about leaks, whether they're unseen or if they're unfixed, they can really waste hundreds and even thousands of gallons of water. So it's really important to kind of routinely check your plumbing, just kind of look around, get in each cabinet, look at the toilets, see if they're seem like they're leaking and running every now and then. Just paying attention to all that irrigation lines outside, making sure nothing's running there. So doing the walkabouts and inside, outside, and really just kind of look in and check in. And something that I kind of wanted to add to that part of the conversation is really paying attention to your water heater. So if it's having issues, that can be another way that you're wasting and spending water without usage, and more so than that can be a common problem too. So if there's a problem with the water heater and it's the pressure relief valve is going off and then stopping every now and again, it could be dumping out just water once an hour or every couple hours, and you just don't even know it, and it's just running over to the floor drain. So looking at the pipes, looking at the floor, seeing if anything looks any different. If you see any water trails towards the drain from the water heater that you hadn't seen before, it could be an on-off leak. So looking into that is another spot that isn't often thought about, because you kind of just glance at it and go, yeah, it's there. It holds water. It heats up. And then we use it when we need it. So how could it possibly be that? But there is things that could go wrong that could use up water with that hot water heater. And there's also and something I used years ago to help out in a big yard with a gas leak to a whole home generator. There's companies out there that do this. That's their living. This is what they do. So I've used them in the past. There's a company out there called American Leak Detection that we had them look for and locate a gas leak in a yard that was, it was probably 125 feet or something, and trying to figure out exactly where it's happening isn't the easiest thing. So having a professional company like that too come in and try and look at everything and see if they find things, because they have equipment that can listen for the movement and just the sounds of like where it could be coming out. And so there's a lot of different things that they could do to help people out with that too. And it reminds me of a story from a long time ago when I was working actually with my father. We did a lot of apartment maintenance. We did a lot of painting and apartment maintenance for maintenance companies and for units that my father actually owned also. And I'll never forget, we had a gas leak in a basement in a building, like a four-family flat, and Laclede Gas is saying, yep, you got to take care of that. Your meter's running, you're using too much, and there's something wrong there. And so me and one of the other guys, Charlie, we worked with us, we go in there and we're checking the entire basement. This is old St. Louis City. It's all black pipe. We're checking everywhere. We got our squirt bottles with the water and the soap, and we're spraying everything. And we did. We found probably five slight gas leaks in all those old pipes. So a good reason to think about just doing that in a really older home with really older gas lines that are the black pipe that have the threads and the screws, and because it can start to just kind of leak slowly, and you get enough of them, it's not a great thing, and you could be using more gas, or it could be very dangerous. So we find all these different little gas leaks. We fix them all. They come back. Laclede Gas says, still happening. You've got more leaks. You need to fix them. And we're like, we went everywhere. So I go in there on my own, and I'm just double-checking everything, and I'm working every single pipe all the way back. I get to the pipes where they're right coming off the gas meter in the basement, and as some of the soapy water is running down, it actually gets on the meter, and the meter's cracked, and it's bubbling, and it's leaking out of the meter. So the whole time, the biggest part of this leak that we were trying to detect and correct was Laclede Gas's problem. And we ended up, so think about the meter. Check that too. And with that water, same way. Could just be I've seen a malfunction, could be a problem with it, and it could just be running when nothing's happening. I've really seen that happen. So, and then, you know, Laclede came in, they said, oh, yeah, wow, you're right. And they put in a new meter, and they said, all right, you're all good now. And so it was still a good thing that we found all those other leaks for that building, but it was a lot of work and a lot of effort, and the largest part of what they were finding was actually in that meter. So a lot of crazy things like that I've seen happen over the years, and everything that we're trying to figure out and trying to do. Sometimes this is really an elimination process, and it's really thinking about what could happen and why, and getting into things that you may not think could be the issue, and it ends up being the issue. So we had some other good conversations. We spoke with Janice for a little bit about some leaded glass in an old door and really how to fix it. And that's the glass, the plaster, some of this old stuff is really turning into kind of an artist thing. There's not a lot of people still doing a lot of this, just as companies, and it's getting down to where that leaded glass is, you're pretty much looking for an artist that works with and likes to work with that, that can get in there and do that repair and get that fixed up and rebuilt and back into place. And sometimes it may be a couple of where a company like Mosby takes that door out, takes that glass out, and they fix it and everything, and then a company like us puts that back because the artist might not want to actually work on the door itself or get it in and out of the window or the door. If you can remove the whole window frame, if it's a window, that's good. You just take them the whole frame, and then the window frame gets installed. So a lot of times it's a crossover of I need a good experienced person or company that can actually do the work, but they won't do the artistry type of lead fixing and things like that. So it's a hand-in-hand endeavor that you got to kind of find and coordinate and get with it. So we had some other conversations. We spoke with Bob, who was asking about how deep should he dig a foundation. And he's kind of spoke about how it's on some fill. And again, this is where we get into an area where there's, you got to do some work and some research to really find out the true answer. If you know it's on fill, then you know it's going to be deeper than the minimum of what we would say the frost line is. So we need a footing to be a minimum of 30 inches deep in our area to be below that frost line. But if you have fill, you have bad soil, you have things like that going on underneath, I'm going to recommend you find and get it tested and get with a geotechnical engineer. And I've done it several times. They can come in, they basically drill like a 4-inch hole straight down in the ground. You've probably seen them do it on asphalt and concrete in parking lots and stuff. They want to test that structure. So they basically drill out, core out about a 4-inch round piece of the earth, and they could pull out 4, 5, 6 feet of earth and look at the layers and see what they are. And then they can tell you exactly, I would dig this deep, I would use this much rock, I'd compact it to this, and then I'd put the footing on top of that. And they can really engineer and design how that has to be and how it's going to work out for your project on your land with your dirt, fill, whatever is in there. Years ago, I did a road. It was basically like a long driveway, and they wanted to kind of curve it around and make it longer and create a front yard. And there was kind of a creek that ran by there, and it took a year of adding rock, different layers of rock, different sized rock, compacting it, waiting for months, doing another layer, doing it again to build up like 8, 9, 10 feet to put an asphalt road on it so that they could have this curved long driveway and create this really big, gorgeous front yard. It was a really cool project. But so sometimes doing that earth stuff can take a lot of time also to get that in. But hey, we're going to get into our first break here. I want to remind everybody, we've got plenty of time, a couple segments left to the top of the hour. Feel free, any questions you have, feel free to give me a call. Love to hear from you, 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
71 FM Talk, St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
All right, here we go. St. Louis, we are back, having a great time here. 97.1 FM, the Home Improvement Show. Welcome, welcome, 97.1 friends. And hey, if you have something going on at your home, if you're sitting there and you're thinking about stuff, you got your honey-do list you need to get done, maybe a DIY project you're thinking about starting, you can call in and talk to me about some of these ideas, best practices. How should I handle certain things? We can certainly do everything we can to try and help you out right here. 314-436-7900 finds me. And so talking about kind of what I do for a living, this 2 hours is good. It's fun. It's kind of a match of what I go around doing every day as a sales consultant for Mosby Building Arts, is seeing clients, meeting new clients, having a lot of repeat clients that we do a lot of different work for. Those are great because sometimes we already kind of know what we're getting into the next go round and doing a project for them every year or two or three. And really, we've got so many that we've done that for 20 years, 15, 20 plus years that we've been working with some of these clients. So as I go around, I meet them, I hear their ideas, their thoughts, what they're thinking, what they're comparing to, because you're always comparing to, do I stay here and fix something? Do I move? Do I build new? How do I handle all of this, these different avenues that you could possibly take? And what are some of the repercussions and pros and cons of actually going down those paths is something that we can meet with you and have a conversation about. So I hear a lot of different questions on different things that we do, doors replacing, windows replacing, siding, how do we flash, how do we dry the house in. So I had a really kind of common question that people ask quite often about a week ago looking at replacing a door. And it's an entry door. And the door they have now is a fiberglass door. So the door is in really good shape. The house is, it's 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that. So this door is not old, but the frame is rotting away. And so we've done a couple different projects for him at his house. One of the first one I did at the new house, because they just had this house built like 5, 6, whatever years ago. The first thing we did for him there, and we had performed work at his house before he had had that one built. But in that one, he had a gutter on the front porch with water just completely overflowing. So I'm kind of examining the house and examining the roof and looking for, okay, what's going on? And a gorgeous, really cool house, a lot of steep roofs, some interesting roof pitch lines. But basically what happens is you've got all these different interesting kind of high-pitched roof lines, and they all funnel their way to the front porch. So from the front of the house, you've basically got 90% of the water from the front of the house, from the peak of the roof towards the front, going to a front porch on about a 20-foot gutter with one downspout. And so it just cannot handle all of that water in certain rains. So we added a downspout. We made the gutter bigger. We added another downspout. We put pipes out through the yard, and we made those pipes in the yard purposely 6-inch lines instead of 4-inch. So 4 inches typical, and it will match the downspout size. But just upping the size of that pipe was good just to make sure that we're not creating a funnel that kind of backs it up even more now that we're putting it in ground and getting it further away. But it also gave us a spot to put water as it's trying to come out. So that 6-inch can also kind of fill up in order to try and handle more water than the downspout can actually handle. So, and that's worked out really well for him, but now he has this door, and the door frame is rotting at the bottom. And of course, he's talked to us, he's talked to a couple, I think he talked to Pella, talked to some window door companies, and everyone's in the same kind of comment of replace the door. We'll get a door just like it. It's going to cost this much. And of course, he's seeing a little difference in the actual cost based on the different types of companies that you're talking to. But so his question to me when I came out, looked at it, said, yep, I agree. That's what needs to happen. We replace the door. We get this new door to look just like it. We can have the blinds and the glass. And so he emails me and says that, to him, the problem is not with the door, but it's with the door framing. And he's thinking that he should consider reframing the door with a composite frame and just using the same door to put into a new frame. And he said his basic question came right down to, do people know how to frame doors anymore? Any thoughts? And so I kind of really got into thinking about, why don't we do that anymore? So in 1991, 1992, 1993, 1994, working for my dad, apartment maintenance, fixing things like that, when you had a door that was good and a frame that was bad, we would absolutely do exactly what he's talking about. But the thing to remember with that is, we're talking about an apartment. It's going to be rented. It's going to have more wear and tear than someone that's in their own home and really wants to be there a long time and take care of their own home. And back then, labor, I didn't make a whole lot of money. Labor was not that expensive. And the materials were not that expensive. So you could take the time, you could buy some materials and take more time in order to do that. In today's world, we've got two things kind of going for this, and especially when we get to your home that we want to protect, we want to do the best thing we possibly can for and all of that. So labor right now is ridiculously expensive. Everything is there's a labor shortage still going on. It's hard to have good workers, keep good workers. Everybody's fighting with pay to kind of try and keep the good workers that we have. So labor is way more expensive. So if you can pay more in materials and use half the labor, you will save your investment in the end. Of if you buy $250 worth of materials and you spend 16 hours working on a door, or you buy a door for $2,000 and you spend 6 hours working on the door, you're going to come out the same. So the benefit is really why everybody wants to go to this new door is no one's going to warranty that door. They're going to maybe give you the 12 months. Yeah, if it falls apart in the next 12 months, call me and I'll see about coming to do something with it. But when you're building that on site, putting it together, it's going to be very hard to make it perfect, square, all the things you need. Get it back in, tight, sealed threshold, having weather stripping that seals good and keeps the cold air out. So if it's not insulated well and the weather stripping doesn't work out as well because you're building this in the field with manpower, you could spend slightly more every month in your utilities, which is going to then offset what you think you were going to save trying to do the door this way. But also, you're getting a door that's going to have like a 20-year warranty. So the Provia doors that we use, the 24-gauge smooth steel door and the fiberglass door, have a 20-year warranty. I couldn't take one of our carpenters, and we have carpenters, I guarantee you we could do this, but if the door cost is the same to have one of my carpenters build this frame and reuse this door, and I give you a 12-month warranty, or if it costs the same, you get the whole new system, and it's brand new, and it's factory finished, and it's protected from the outside, and you're not going to have this leaking water frame rotting issue anymore, and you get a 20-year warranty and a 10-year warranty on the insulated glass. So if the fiberglass door that's in that opening right now has a 10-year warranty on the insulated glass, it's going to be gone in about 3 years. And if you think about it, it might be gone the day we take that door and put it into a different frame, because the manufacturer of that door comes out and you say, well, now there's an issue with the glass. They could look at it and technically say, this isn't our frame. This door has been kind of rebuilt, worked on. We don't own it anymore. Your warranty's gone. So even if you had a warranty left, it might by chance just go away. And then you're in a door where you don't have the glass warranty anymore. You only got 12 months on the actual frame and how the thing stays together. So when you look at that overall aspect of what you're getting, it's just, that's why we all go to the new system, the whole new door. We can guarantee it. We'll have a great warranty from the manufacturer, and we'll have a really good product left for you that you could stay in your home for a really long time and have this work out for you. And the other thing that we're certainly concerned about is if anything does go wrong with the door frame that we rebuild and put another door into, our main goal here at Mosby Building Arts is to have happy clients, to have products that last, to have great quality. So sometimes we have to kind of make those decisions too, where if somebody else said they would rebuild that door, then I would kind of have to say, well, we just don't want to do that because I don't want to be back here 3 years from now and you not happy with what happens, and we see a whole lot of that all the time. Way too common with people having work done, and they're just not happy, and they're just never going back to that same company to help them or do anything else because they just weren't happy with anything, and maybe they had issues and they never got corrected, and they're like, yep, I'll never go there again. And that's another thing that we're trying to do the right thing to avoid and make sure that we can help out and we can keep everybody very happy and in tune with everything there. So, hey, and speaking of keeping people happy, speaking of helping out, don't forget, we've got a whole nother segment coming up. Let's jump into our final break here, but you can find me at 314-436-7900. We've got plenty of time and we can certainly help you out. So stay tuned right here and we'll be right back.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, here we go. Home Improvement Show, final segment. We do have time if you want to get in and get a question answered, get something out there, maybe comment and talk about some of the things we've been covering today. We'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900 will find me right here. We've got about 10 minutes for you yet, but I wanted to get into this kind of basement leak. There's foundation leaks that aren't always necessarily foundation leaks. And sometimes these foundation companies may offer something that will do what they're saying and it will work and it will actually do what they want with the water and put it where they need it and then they can get rid of it and it goes back outside. But sometimes these leaks could be generating from higher up behind the siding, around the windows, around the doors, and then going down to the foundation. So sometimes the foundation kind of repair, cover up, get the water going where we want it, get rid of humidity. It's not necessarily a bad thing to do, and it will work for what they're talking about, but it won't help you for if you're getting water in up higher through the wall before you're seeing it in the foundation and all that. So I had a very, very interesting one it was actually yesterday, and we'd been working on a powder room for this client, and unfortunately she had a leak in her toilet, and the shutoff wouldn't work, so we had to kind of emergency-wise come out as fast as we could and do a time material to fix the shutoff and fix the toilet, and now I was putting something together to actually fix the bathroom because the side of the cabinet got all warped, and I'm sure there's mold on the other side of the wood, and it's a wood floor, so the wood floor got warped. And so we're putting together this project, and she kind of calls me and says, I got this foundation water thing I want to have you look at and talk about. I said, well, when I come out for the bathroom, let's look at that and talk about it. And essentially, the foundation company was saying, I'll put this on your foundation wall. It's a product that covers the wall. It'll put the water down in your sump pump, and you won't have to worry about the water coming down your foundation wall. And I'm like, yeah, that might not be the best thing because where's the water originating from? And we figured out on Friday it's originating from a double window right above that area, and the window's leaking, and it's coming in between the window, and the wall doesn't have house wrap. And I pulled some siding back. There's some rotted sheeting. There's some rotted wood and stuff, and so we totally kind of ditched that whole bathroom project and went straight after, oh my gosh, this is 10 times more important than that. Now let's get you a new window, let's fix the wall, let's watershed plane the wall. So sometimes you got to look deeper than you're thinking and maybe a little higher than the foundation to get those answers and understand them. So, but hey, we got Bonnie called in on the line here. So, hey, Bonnie, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yes, we do. We have two air conditioning units, and we are on a slab house that's about 69 years old. And it's been added on to each end. It's a very long house. But anyhow, one unit is on the south side and one unit is on the north side. So they're very separated. However, they both have a horrible mold smell when we turn on the air conditioning. And my husband just did the furnace filters yesterday, mm-hmm. and that didn't improve things. We've looked for leaks, can't find those. Somebody went into our attic, couldn't find any leaks there. We have had a mouse invasion of late. I don't know if that would have anything to do with anything, but okay. I have really bad mold allergies. It's making me so sick. So I wondered, I have some questions. In 2021, we had some new units put in. We had a very trusted 20-year relationship with an HVAC company, but sadly they retired. So anyhow, they put on iWave filters on each of the units. That's the only thing I can figure out that they have in common, being so far apart, and why they would both be having this smelly mold. So I wonder if you have any experience with those things, whether they could be causing a problem after 3 years, and or are the outside units ever responsible for smells? They're pretty new as well.
Okay. Let me ask a couple questions real quick. Is the duct work in the attic where all the air yeah. forces through the pipe, so there isn't any duct work in the floor, in that concrete floor?
Let's see. It's possible that on the south end, that might be in the floor, but I'm not positive about that.
But if it's both, that would bring up a good question. And so, because just some of the places that I've found issues with the heating, cooling, AC systems is, one, if you have metal ductwork from an older home that's underneath a concrete slab floor, that's a spot where it takes a lot of moisture and it could be inside that ductwork. And I've seen that ductwork kind of rot away. I've seen it kind of just rust away and water gets in it. I've even actually done a liner inside of those ductworks one time before to kind of correct some issues like that. So if there's any ductwork that's in the floor, I would consider looking there. And I wouldn't necessarily just negate the ductwork that's in the attic. You may end up just getting it cleaned and look at all the ductwork. But the other place that I've seen mold come and have that problem is actually above the furnace where the A coil and all that comes in from the air conditioner outside to that furnace. There's like a square on top of the furnace that's got your A coil in it, and there's insulation around the inside of that metal. And I've seen that take on a lot of moisture and end up getting mold inside that box, and had people, once they corrected that kind of took away that problem. So that's a spot I would look at. Also is looking in the furnace and looking, taking part of that apart and looking around that A coil and everything and making sure that's not kind of moist, wet, and or any mold in that area, because the air is blowing right through that to go and disperse throughout the house. And that could very easily be happening in both areas if there's two furnaces, because it could be a product of just how much moisture is in the home, how high is the humidity level get up to in the home, because that can all kind of play into how this stuff happens and works and where you get these mold smells from. So I would look at that, too, is have them check the furnace and where the A coil and where the air blows through.
The A coil. And yep. Now, the one furnace on the South addition, which was, I guess it was put in 30 some years ago, is a downdraft. Does that make sense? It's in a closet, and then the usual filter just lays on top of that, and then the eye wave is below it. And I don't know why I'm stuck on this eye wave. I guess because I think that that's the only thing they have in common, and they were put in at the same time.
Yeah, but, and it could be if there is moisture or something with that filter, and it's happening at both, if just high humidity and moisture from the unit and the cold air and everything, that could definitely be. Do you have any like a humidifier on either of those furnaces?
No, I guess not.
Okay, because I've also seen the humidifier filter. It has a filter, you know, in the winter it's running air through there, it's running water through there to add moisture to the air for the winter time, and you shut it off. But those definitely need to be like filters cleaned and cleaned out. And so if there is a humidifier, that's another spot that could be added.
No, I'm sure we don't have that. Yeah,
okay.
We're very dry in the winter.
Yep. So I would have an HVAC specialist look at the box around that A-coil, what's happening up there, and then maybe examine both those filters to make sure nothing's visibly happening in there where you're seeing any mold. And if that's not the case, then maybe I would move out into the ductwork and maybe get the ductwork cleaned by a company. It's always a good thing to do anyways. And just make sure that there's nothing inside the ductwork.
Okay, let's see. But there's nothing that we would need to do with the external units that would have anything to do with this, right?
No, because that basically is just, it has the line coming in that goes to the furnace, that goes to the A-coil and all of that. So everything that could be causing it from the unit outside would be at that furnace around those coils.
Okay. Yep. Okay, well, I guess our next thing is to try to find, we did have one HVAC person come out some months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were very impressed. He didn't seem to know what we needed to do. So now that we've lost our trusted ones, I don't know if you ever recommend people or not, but
actually you could call our office and get a recommendation there. I appreciate the call. We're completely out of time. Hey, everybody, be good and be good to your homes. I'll talk to you next week.